Time for an aggressive self-peace program. How about that? Time for an aggressive self-peace program. Very interesting. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing and the University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Time for an aggressive self-peace program. What kind of a self-peace program could we have that is aggressive and still be a peace program? Peace does not sound like an aggressive thing. Peace sounds like a very relaxing and a very quiet and gentle thing. And because peace sounds like a very quiet, relaxing, and gentle thing, peace is a very quiet, relaxing, and gentle thing. Let us look at peace in our own life with ourselves. Are you at peace? Are you enjoying your life? Are you enjoying who you are? Are you enjoying the fact that you are a beautiful person? Are you enjoying the fact that you are a sensitive, loving person? Are you enjoying the fact that you have no possession of anything that belongs to anybody else, no desire for anything that belongs to somebody else, that you have no desire for something that doesn't belong to you? This is what world peace seems to surround itself with. People begin to want something that does not belong to them. And because they want something that does not belong to them, what they are doing is they're going out and being aggressive in an anti-peace way. They want to go out and take it in whatever way they can. Well, I say let's be aggressive in a self-peace way. And to be aggressive in a self-peace way means that we place in our consciousness every moment of every day the thought that I am peace. I am peace. And when we place this in our mind that I am peace, then we have no desire for anything which would be against that peaceful attitude. We have no desire for taking something that doesn't belong to us. We have no desire for judging others. We have no desire for being touched by others and being sad about it. We have only one desire, and that is to be ourselves and have fun. And that desire can manifest itself in the simplest and the grandest of ways. When you, they say, sure, I don't mind being sad if I'm wealthy. I don't mind being sad if I have a lot of money. Well, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because if you have anything that doesn't belong to you, and presumably it doesn't belong to you when you say you don't have it, if you have anything that doesn't belong to you, it makes you sad. Because in your heart you know you have taken something that does not belong to you. Now, there are some people who feel they can go around taking the affections of others, taking the affections of others' wives or dogs or children or whatever, and they feel so happy, so proud. Oh, this dog loves me. Look at how wonderful this dog pays attention to me. I'm having this dog. Well, hey, that's beautiful. But what are you doing? Are you taking that dog's affections away from its owner? Are you taking that dog's affections away from the person that the affections should be, so to speak, going to? If another man comes along and takes the affections of another man's wife, is that an acceptable thing? Not at all. If another person comes along and takes the affections of a person's children, for instance, if an uncle were to come along and be so generous and so wonderful with the children of his brother and make them feel that he is the greatest in the world and he is the one who gives them things and he is the one who's paying their way to college and he is the one who's doing these things and that their father can't afford it, their father can't make it, their father can't do it, well, that stimulates a very aggressive non-peace attitude. The father may love his brother, and may love his brother being generous to his family, but the father is losing his feeling toward his children. The children are turning their affection to the uncle, who is a better supplier, who is a better giver than the father. Now, you see, that stimulates the lack of peace. It stimulates an aggression toward, you might say, war. And this is not what we want to do. When we live in a life where the father never does anything that is going to create problems. For instance, we tell this story that we have used quite often. It's a Sufi tale. And there's a man who was working at a job, and he was earning very little money, but he earned as much as his talents would take him. And every night when he would come home, he would cross over a bridge, and he would come down his lane into the back area of the inexpensive homes, and there would be his home where he lived with his family. And he would come to the door, and his family would greet him and say, "Daddy, Daddy, you're home!" And he would play with them, and he'd spend time with them before it was time to eat. And he had very little to give them, but he gave them his love. He gave them his attention. He gave them his all. And they didn't think of him as being a poor man. They didn't think of him as having nothing. They always thought of him as having everything in the world, that he was the greatest father in the world, and they had the greatest mother in the world, and they had need for nothing more. Well, then one day, a very rich man saw this poor man and his family, and he thought, "I want to give him a gift, but he has a lot of pride, and so I can't give him the gift straight out. I'm going to talk to the rabbi here and see what the rabbi says about giving the gift. What would he suggest?" And so the rabbi said, "Well, you can't just give it to him because he's a lot of pride." And the rich man said, "I understand that. But if he finds something, that's a different thing. So if you were to place it where he could find it, then he would feel that it's his." And so the rich man and the rabbi decided they would place the pot of gold in the middle of the bridge that this man walked across every evening when he came home. And they did that. And they sat in the bushes watching to see that he picked up his pot of gold. And as the man came home from work this evening, he thought of, "I'm going to play a game. My children always want me to play games, and I'm going to practice. I'm going to walk across this bridge with my eyes closed, and let's see if I can walk from one side of the bridge to the other with my eyes closed." So he set his course, and he closed his eyes, and he walked across the bridge. And he got to the other side, and he felt so good. He was just beaming with happiness. And the rabbi and the rich man came to him and said, "Sir, did you just come across that bridge?" And he said, "Yes, I did it with my eyes closed, too. I know my children will be so happy to hear that I was able to do that." "Well, sir, okay, you did not see anything on the bridge?" "No, I was walking right across." And the man went home to his children. And the greatest treasure of all was their joy and their happiness as they jumped up and said, "Daddy, you're home! Daddy, you're home! It's wonderful to see you!" And all the money in the world could not buy such. All the money in the world could not buy that. This man was living aggressively a peaceful life. He let his instantaneous idea flow, and he moved with his children. He moved with his life. He was a glorious, happy, fantastic guy. You see, when we have time for an aggressive self-peace program, where we love ourselves and we enjoy our own company, and we enjoy the things that are of real value in our life, we have no desire for anything that belongs to somebody else. We have no, then the pride of this man as he walked across the bridge and didn't even see the gold is not jeopardized in any way. This is something so important for all of us to consider, to be have this wonderful self-peace program and live it aggressively. You have a wonderful day. Know that all is good and very good, and life is going your way in a beautiful way right now, today. Know that I love you, I love you, I love you.